We ask that you pray for us this morning as we go into this service, as we remember today the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. You know, Brother Ron made this kind of facsimile of what it would have been like for Christ's feet to be nailed to the cross. And, you know, I started to take it back, and I thought, no, I need to keep it up here to remind me of who paid the price. So if you see this up here, no, I'm not going to use it like a club or anything, but it's just whenever that I look towards it, I look towards those feet that were pierced for me. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew 26, chapter 26. This is also found in Mark, Luke. John didn't write about this. The Apostle Paul did in 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter. But it was something that is intended to be kept in the church to remind us who purchased our salvation individually and as a whole. If everybody's turned there with me. 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to start our reading lesson with the 26th verse. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." And I always kind of interpreted that to mean, all of you drink of this. He said the reason why is because this represents my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. If correctly read, that includes the 26 down through the 28 verses of the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Our thought will come from that last verse that we just read in your hearing. Of all the things that we could say, his body being offered was important, but it's something about the shedding of his blood that gives us the liberty that we have today to call him Savior and to call him Lord today. "This is my blood for the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Not an Old Testament, no longer needing to go back under the law, but one fulfilled the law right down to the very jot and the very tittle. In other words, he crossed the T's and he dotted the I's. You and I could not do it. You and I don't have the ability to keep the law of God. Yet they were commanded, you know, over time that they would observe it. But as you read these previous chapters, you know how that got to be, how that it became corrupted, how that it became a scam, how that the house of God became a den of thieves. Now, I'm not talking about this house of God. I'm talking about the one in Jerusalem, the temple. And you know, Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. Some people think that he came to do away with the law. And that's as far from the truth as you can get. Because it says over in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, he said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law of God, the approach unto the throne of God." He said, "I've not come to destroy it, I've come to fulfill it." Now, we are still expected to fulfill the law. And you said, "Preacher, you sound contradictory there." But no, The only way that we fulfill the law is to be in Christ Jesus. He has fulfilled it for us. He is our substitute as far as offering and sacrifice and all of those things, but also he represents us unto God. Now, his sacrifice brought about what we observe today. This Lord's Supper, this commemorates. Brethren, sisters, goes all the way back to Jerusalem. When you look upon this, you're looking upon probably the best representation that we can give of what it was like in that upper room. And I can imagine whenever that they finished the Passover supper, and then Jesus took bread and he began to break it, and he took the cup and he began to pass it around. The disciples had no idea, perhaps, what was going on. But yet Jesus told them, when you observe this, you do it in remembrance of me. And that's what we want to do here today. We want to do it in remembrance of the price that he paid, of the sacrifice that he made, of the suffering that he went through, the death that he died for each and every one of us. We want to do it, my friend, because of the blood that he shed. And we want to do it because he overcame death, hell, and the grave for each and every one of us. He overcame, my friend, what you and I cannot conquer. And we're able to say, like the Apostle Paul said in one place, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift given us in Christ Jesus. And that day comes whenever that we can answer him, whenever that the call comes from glory, come up hither. We'll be able to say, oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? He won it in Christ Jesus. We overcome through him and by his grace today. You know, he gives us that assurance. Before in sin, we had a stony heart, as it says over in Ezekiel chapter 36. But he gave us a heart of flesh. And someone will say today, well, he doesn't save the flesh, but here's the contrast. Being dead in trespasses and in sins, there's no feeling towards God. In fact, I have ran from God. I didn't want anything to do with it. But yet, God took that stony heart and he made it a heart of flesh that could feel. Flesh can feel. If I was to stick this, well, I'm not going to demonstrate it, but if I stuck this spike within my hand, I'd feel it. If I was stone, it wouldn't make any difference, just like this piece of wood does not cry out. That's what happens whenever that God saves. He gives us that feeling. He gives us that assurance, that knowledge that we are a child of God. Now, I want you to know, my friend, of all the things that we preach and that we espouse today, the most important thing that we can say is that through his blood, in his blood, we have the remission of sins. We have that assurance. We have, most importantly of all, what he says here, we have forgiveness of sins. And it's a two-way street there. A two-way street, forgiveness of sins. You'll see it written in some instances, remission of sins. Basically, it works the same. They mean the same thing from the original languages. But we have that forgiveness of sin. I want to tell you what the Bible says today about that. He says, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, if you're in Christ Jesus today, if you've been born again, there will never, ever be laid unto your charge ever again what you were before that you were saved. Now, some people will say today, well, I've done terrible. I've done this. I've done that. How can I be saved? My friend, that's not God bringing it up. As far as God is concerned, because of what Christ did and what you have in your heart, as far as God is concerned, your sins are cast as far as east is from the west. He is not going to bring them out again. He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. But if you have an unsure thing within your heart about it, maybe I'm not saved because I did this and I did that. My friend, you're not working to keep it. You can't keep it. It is kept by God. God keeps it. I want you to know, my friend, even somebody like David, who sinned, he said in the 51st Psalm, he said these words, "Restore unto me, O God, the joy of thy salvation." Now, that doesn't give us a license to go out and live like the devil in the world, because the Bible tells us in another place, it says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. My friend, the inclination that we have as a child of God is that we want to do God's will. We want to please Him. And I want you to know that a child of God is a stranger today. I always use this phrase. Someone asked me where I got it from, and most people know that I'm a big fan of Indiana Jones. But in one scene with his father, they're standing at a Nazi rally. And he turns to his son and he said, "My boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land." And that's what we are today. But I want you to know, we remember that we are God's in this service today and what we are about to partake of. And I want you to know that when Christ sacrificed for us, it was payment in full. There's no more adding unto it. He paid the full price that was needed. Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, tells us in one place, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, I want to kind of take those negatives out. With the shedding of blood, there is remission of sin. And we preach a blood-soaked religion, but my friend, that's the only way that we can be atoned before Almighty God. And I want you to know, my friend, it's an eternal redemption, because it tells us in that same book or in that same chapter that neither by the blood of bulls and of goats or ashes of a heifer, he said he entered in once into the holy place. I like to think of it as this. He went back up to his father. He had completed what he'd been sent to do. And there in the throne room of God, the Son of God, resurrected, overcoming death, mighty to save, down the aisle of heaven before the throne of grace, who is this that is coming before my throne? Who is this that is coming to approach me? It is I, Father. We are back together again. What is that you have in your hands, or what is that you have with you? It is the blood of the everlasting covenant, that whoever approaches you today comes through that blood. And my friend, that's the way that God looks towards us, is through the blood of Christ. I've been told, and I don't know that this is true, but I've been told if you take a prism or a magnifying glass that's colored red, you can look at a red rose and it'll appear white. Now, I've never tried that, but it sounds kind of like a scriptural type thing, because God looks towards us through the blood applied by faith unto our heart. And my friend, whenever that we look up unto God, we come before Him, and we also look through the blood. We come before Him and we say, "Lord, for Your Son's sake, because of what He did." In fact, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and 32. And if you read that, what always kind of struck me about it, it was always saying something to the effect about, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But here's the part that always used to nail me. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And it came to me one day, it's like God did not owe me forgiveness. I didn't do anything to buy it. I didn't take a creed. I didn't go under baptismal waters or anything like that. But so that His Son will not have died in vain, God forgives me. Brother, to me, and I don't know anybody else, but to me today, that's pretty humbling. It is. But I'm thankful that through that blood today, He makes us a child of God. Being saved today, we've had a blood transfusion. We certainly have. We're a child of the King. We're heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And there's a song that says, and I claim kinship unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I do today. Because all of them foresaw what we've tried to speak about today. So we're so thankful and grateful unto God for what He has done and how that He has saved us and how that He has washed us in His blood.